Hello, everybody. This is Terry Laundrie. We're doing the T3 observations for Sunday, the 21st of November. I have quite a bit of territory to cover today, and I will give you a summary of the forecast, and I'll give you a summary at the in the fourth part. I have been given kind information from Orville, who I will introduce at the next section. And I have continued evidence that the money flow indicator, which Parker discovered and which I am researching in this letter, looks pretty good, and that can affect the way we do the forecast. The important thing to remember as far as the big picture is concerned is that in our first chart here of the short-term chart, the D top has been put in, and that there isn't any change to that, nor is there any change to the fact that the public is reached an optimistic state, which is that of a top, and the numbers are still high. But the insiders, who are presumed to have better knowledge, are selling at record highs, and we are having a decline into the null echo low, which is mid-December. Orville is an expert in cycles and works with Tim Wood, who is a very respected analyst, and at cyclesman.com, and is providing me at their own generous gift a way to refine the cycles down in the volume oscillator using their proprietary cycles. If the now the second thing we have is the second thing that's going on is that the money flow indicator T's I have done now for four segments of the stock market: high yield bonds, treasury bonds, S&P, and gold. And we're going to summarize those, and they have their own particular conclusions. And because they're different sectors, and it's very important that we know, you know, something about all of those, because you can put the complete picture together. Generally speaking, the way the forecast develops is D is a top. December is the null echo low, as I have. But you'll notice I just put down long new T without anything, because I believe that certain events that will be confirmed by the time we get into mid-December will make the money flow T's the most important one. So I introduced a new symbol in here, which is a line, black line, coming with an arrow on it, coming out of the right side of this red new long T. And in the middle of it, I have put a black dot with a red center to it, and it says use money flow T. What we're going to do is we're going to let it go into the low, and then if everything looks okay on the money flow indicators, what you do is you watch the rally that comes out of there, and you find the midpoint in the money flow indicator where you have a peak that represents half of the advance, and then you use the other half to tell you where the top is. What that does is gets around the question of whether it's a T or it's a bullish T, or whether it's a good T or a bad T, and you have to go on some other way, but That's the story how you get out of that one. It's a much better approach. The money flow T's that I'm interested in talking about today all claim that you have either seen a top, which would be for high yield bonds, or and even prior to that would be government bonds, but there's going to be some kind of a hang up going into early December, which we don't know what that is. I suspect that the hang-up is probably a bounce off the normal correction low, and it goes sideways, and then you have a sharp drop into the middle of December. It's my opinion right now is that that selling climax that goes into the bottom zone is like with a flash crash, where it's a very compressed, because you're dropping off all these T's at one time into a cycle low, and the whole thing is going to turn out to be a mess. There is an opportunity, but the opportunity is really at the mid-December low because of this drop down. If the hang up doesn't occur, then there's a question on the money flow T's not being correct. But if there is a hang up and then you get a crash, then the money flow T's the other two examples of the money fluties are correct, then they are, all four of them then become reliable enough that we would now transition into using money flotees as the thing that we watch in any case. So other than saying that the the panic should end up down at the deep correction low and use that as your basic way to put things in with a little bit of a hang up in here. We don't know what the hang up is, since the money flow indicators is an experimental thing, you just kind of watch it go through and then remember how it turned out to see how things with the things that going to go along. Now let me just go into what Orville's letter, and then I'm going to talk about some general things here, and then I'll get more specific as to the things that he said when I get into the other sections. That it helps that way because it keeps the audio files down to a smaller size. Orville writes, Terry, to begin with, I am a trader, not an accomplished analyst. I take well-founded ideas like yours and others and run through my filter of experience, a sanity test, and buyer sellers indicate it. Okay. First thing right down there, he says he's a trader, not an accomplished analyst. I would refer you, one of the important overriding pictures, in addition to the fact that the public's all bullish and the insiders are selling, is that the experience of Marty Schwartz as a analyst. When he came out of college, he went, if you read Pitbull, he went through his college, and they wanted to become an analyst on Wall Street, and he went to the firm, and he was made a drug analyst. In the drug business, he had the misfortune of entering Wall Street at the time of the 73-74 bear market. But his first task was to study drug stocks and come up with a report which the management was hoping would be a bullish report. So he studied the stocks, and he came to the conclusion that in all good conscience they were bad. You couldn't go out to the public and tell them to buy this stuff because there were problems coming. So, and essentially what the management says is that's not what they were looking for a report. And he should go back and rethink it. He went back and he stuck to his guns, and eventually he disappeared from that organization. That is an important element that you want to get from your information sources. Every entity has its own business model. And the business model on Wall Street is not to sell bad news. You can see that in the decline that came, the recent decline, where in the case of Merrill Lynch and Citicorp, they had competent analysts who warned them there were problems coming, but it was overridden by the management, and it was basically a case they didn't want to hear the bad story, and so they disappeared, and they've gone on to work with other people. The reason that the bottom zone is, keep this all in mind, is that that sort of a business model can be reproduced, but only because after you have a catastrophe, the Federal Reserve gives out money and it tends to find itself into Wall Street. Wall Street gets the money and buys stocks at a low, because they were only given the money at a low, so that they have the money to buy the stocks at a low, and then when they come out, they just hire another analyst to come up with a bullish report so that they can distribute it at the top. That's pretty much the way, what my opinion is, that that's the way they do this business. The bigger cycles that we're talking about, which lead you into a depression period, which is the 80-year cycle, which is the double 40-year cycle, is basically says that game is running out. And they keep giving the money away, but they don't have any more money to give away. So there's going to be a day of reckoning, and the day of reckoning is the depression, which occurs sometimes going into the year 2020. Now, I mention that as a preface because it's a good thing to keep in mind that when we go into this cycle low, what's going to happen is maybe they're going to have a big selling climax, but the Federal Reserve is giving money away, so this is going to buy the thing and pop it back up again, and then try to put a pleasant face on it, and then they're going to go into a distribution mode again. And since insiders are selling, you have to be careful that you have to make sure you're playing the right side of the game. I also mention this because As Orville says, you know, he works for a person who is Tim Wood, who is a competent psychoanalyst, knows about the decline that we have seen from their own cycle work, and anybody that's in the advisory business is what they call an independent analyst. That is, they are not. They can speak their mind. They don't have to fudge things because this is a management level about them. However, it's likely to be their livelihood, and if they're not, usually they're managing their own money, and maybe they're managing somebody else's money. But if they're in the advisory services, it's not polite to ask them about secrets because that's their livelihood. So if you want to know what, you don't write to me and say you'd like to get have Orville's email address because that's a private business. They're more than happy to tell you certain things that will keep you out of trouble. But as far as the real secret stuff, they have to keep that for their own proprietary reasons. They also sink or swim on their own, how good they are. So I was very pleased to see that Orville gave me some specifics, which I probably think probably going to be useful to you in the process. So he continues. Additionally, my colleague Tim Wood at cyclesman.com, and I keep track of several cycles. One has averaged 39 days in length, another 22 weeks in length since 1896. Obviously, these two cycles do not make a top and a bottom together every time because they have different lengths. However, they do come together at a certain, at a high or low point, which is the sweet spot for the next significant move. It is apparent we saw a 39-day cyclical high and likely a 22-week cyclical high last week. He wrote this on the November, so that's back on the 7th. That's the point D in the chart. We have been expecting the current 39-day cycle to be right-hand translated and bullish, which it was, and for it to complete a low the third week of December. Now, the third week of December, so that's his target date, and if you look on a calendar, that's the 13th to the 17th of December, and if you take the midpoint, it's the midpoint between the 13th and 17th is the 15th, and the 15th is mid-December. So as far as Orville's technical work is concerned, what he's saying is that the Nalldeco estimate of mid-December is right by their reckoning, and there's no sense in recounting this stuff. Okay, so you kind of fix that point in time. Okay. Then he goes on to say that should be a sharp multi-week rally out of the December low. So that's the new T. And then he wants to talk about on the upside, but I'm not so much interested in anybody's comments on what's going up because I'm going to use the money flow T's if everything turns out to be okay. So that covers pretty much what Orville's stuff is. Now, I'll go on with my own applications. The day of the 39-day cycle. Remember, what prompted this letter was that he noticed that we're talking about the low in the chart, the low, and then the low question mark. They were separated by 74 days, and of course, if it's true that it's a 39-week cycle, then what you're seeing between those lows is a doubling up. So you have two 39-week cycle lows, except that 2 times 39 doesn't come out to be 74. So you have to go back and say the cycle is running a little bit shorter, and we have to go down to 37 weeks. So when they say that this cycle has been running for like 100 years, what they're talking about is basically that it can fluctuate back and forth, and so that you have to have some plus and minuses on that. He says it's mid-December, so in the week, that's really like the 15th plus or minus 2 days. Okay, so that's all we're going to get out of that information. Now, he has other things on selling climaxes and so forth, but I haven't read everything over on that one, and other things that he doesn't want published. So we'll just let it go at that point, and just say that it looks like it's the case. Now, going to the money flow, as soon as we look at the money flow indicators, we're going to find out that the market doesn't seem to want to drop off right away, and it hangs, and then it goes down in. If it hangs and it's going to have a selling climax, it's deep, you should get an arms sell warning, and then when you get to the very low, you should get a very high arms ratio to confirm it. We don't know what the magnitude of this is. In fact, he points out in cycles that they don't know what the price is. It's a timing thing, so you don't know what the magnitude is. I would say that if all this stuff is going to come out right, this decline has to be extremely sharp. And it's odd thing is that you're hanging it up, so you have less time for the drop into the fixed mid-December low, according to what we see here. So the only thing you can really get for a buy signal is a selling climax or flash crash or whatever they called the last one on. So it's interesting in the money flow indicator that use flash crashes type things as the starting point for the point. So I mentioned that now. If this is true, if there is a sell warning, basically what it means is the sum of the arms ratios in the second column there would add up to about 3.5, 3.6, 3.7. That's a kind of a sell warning, or they would average 0.70, like average 0.70. You can see there is no warning in here because you still have a 2.27 and a 1.32 number in it. But it's possible as you go into this area into December that you start getting very, very low numbers. That's the warning that the selling is coming. Okay, and then if you hit in mid-December, you can find yourself a very, very high number in the arms ratio. That's a selling climax. He has done analysis on selling climaxes that have to do with other people's work on stocks. You count the number of stocks that have or sectors that have selling climaxes in them, and you try to get a big cluster of them. That I think the arms ratio would probably tell us what we want to know. And I think that when we come out, we're going to use the money flow indicator, assuming that we get results that are consistent with what comes in the next section. Okay, so that's it for this section, and then we'll be back, and we're going to start to work on the money flow indicator, which is the second important part.